Our topic is conflict, the need for negotiating skill.
I'm Eleanor Futcher.
And I'm Roy Futcher. And I will start us off. How many were with us at some other sessions earlier on this topic? So, on this week. So we have a few, okay? Because I was going to review just a little bit. And can you see this clearly enough from back there? All right, let's see this one.
Do I need to move?
Doesn't mean. Well, earlier in the week we talked about ego states. The ego is you know, the I that we experience as ourself. It's the conscious part of ourself. You know, I'm standing here, I'm aware of seeing all of you people out in front of me, and I'm aware that I'm talking and gonna proceed with the subject. And that's me, my ego, my conscious self, the center of consciousness. And there's more available to me than just what I see here. You know, I have all kinds of memories and I know where I come from and so on. You know, I can draw out material memories, ideas, and that's all part of the ego. So there are three aspects of the ego. There is the child ego state, and the adult ego state, and a parent ego state. They're all essential. They're all important. But having some sense of how these function helps our communication. We've all been children, and we've had those experiences, and particularly children are much more in touch with the relationships between people. Therefore, they're in touch with a lot of feeling. They experience the feeling side of life in the period where they're growing up. They experience the security, being held, the warmth, the affection, or they also can experience times where they're scared, or something hurts, or you know, all kinds of. So there's wonder and curiosity, and there's also fear and scares and the whole gamut. So those are the aspects of the child ego state. And so we diagram it as an aspect of the total ego. Then let's see, the parent, we all know, we've all experienced parenting. We have been parented ourselves. And the parenting may go on not only by mother and father, but by grandmother. A teacher has parental guiding, teaching dimension. So we know we have experiences of doing that. Some things we learn from our parents, some of it's good and some of it's not so good. Sometimes maybe the parent was too strict or too rigid, and we may also pick up some of that stuff, and we have to maybe at times unlearn it. Or maybe there are some parents might have been too permissive and gave no boundaries, and the child could, you know, didn't have any sense of boundaries to protect, some controls. And you might push and push and push till maybe a parent will set some boundaries. And usually when you grow up in a situation like that, when you have to do it yourself as a parent, you usually say, hey, I'm gonna set some boundaries. I'm not, you know, you may have some experience of the problems that came out of such an experience. So anyway, we have experiences of being parents, and then the adult aspect is it's less emotional or less, it's more an objective side, at least as it's defined here. It's the problem solving aspect of ourselves. It takes in the facts, the information, the objective things, and can give information and data and solve things and make decisions about what to do. Now, that's sufficient. So then the other thing we said was that in the child's experience, we spoke about was a natural child, or all of those things I was telling you about, but then there's the adaptive child. That is, any family has tensions and problems, or life just has tensions and problems as we're growing up. So we learn certain communication patterns from our parents, and the child learns to adapt to however the parent's communication system works. And the fears, unresolved matters that the parents haven't fully dealt with, the child is very, picks up on those. They don't even have to be talked about. Sometimes they are non-verbal, non-spoken things, but people get upset or tense related to that particular issue, and the child picks it up non-verbally. So there is adaptive side of the child. Then we went on to say,
I think we need to move to this to get to the...
This was three positions that the adaptive aspect of the child takes, and that becomes part of the script, or like a play or a game that has certain rules with winners and losers in it. So there's a victim position, a rescuer, and a persecutor. Usually we experience two of the positions more than all three. We can at times be mother's helper, the child can, mother's helper, father's helper, sympathetic to the parent. The parent may be under a lot of stress, maybe something tragic, sad has happened, maybe a death in the family. And the child picks it up. And the child may want to be a comfort, or doesn't want to be a problem to the parent, because the parent has so much pressure. So the child becomes a rescuer in a lot of his actions or communication. The other side is, maybe in the family system there's a number of siblings, maybe one kid gets picked on. We had somebody sharing that she had a little brother who was the scapegoat. And he was viewed as slow, kind of dumb, and she was the one who helped him learn his school lessons. So in fact, he was older than she, and they were in the same class. So anyway, he tended to be caught in a kind of victim position. He might at times gotten angry about being in that position, and when he would be in an angry place, he would be coming on as a persecutor. He might, say angry things. So anyway, those are the three scripted positions of the adaptive child. And when those take over in our adult life, or when they affect us, then they messes up our communication. Then it becomes often very dysfunctional. Any comment or questions at this point? Are we clear enough? All right. We're going through a lot of things here. Covering a lot. Since I've been talking more about the dysfunctional communication, I think we'll go down the line here. So this triangle and the adaptive child represents a dysfunctional area. And then we've listed here four forms of dysfunctional communication. One.
And then when you describe them, then what I'd like each of you to do is think of where you fit in, because we generally all can find ourselves, okay?
Now these are patterns that they can kind of be automatic patterns when pressure is on or something, and then say we slip into being a blamer. We argue for our position. And I got a little S here and an O. The S stands for self and the O for the other person. The blamer is discounting himself in, so to speak. He is not discounting himself or herself, but he is discounting the other person. That is, he's not, this has to do with a self-esteem. So that in a blamer position, I esteem my opinion and my analysis of the situation, and you better get it through your thick head, you know, and you argue. And you put the other person down, so you are
discounting
their self-esteem. Okay, the pleaser or placator is just the opposite on that. They put themselves down, or they don't consider their own feelings. They say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I really was only trying to help. Well, I'll try harder, you know, I could do it over again." See, you're in a kind of apologetic position. And you don't say, you don't give expression to what you feel or what your thoughts are on the subject. You are only responding to the ideas or the feelings of the person that you are, would say, discussing something with. So, pleaser, placator. Then there's two other positions that discounts both oneself and discounts the other person. And that is versus the distractor or the irrelevant. So that if there was a problem or conflict, this person would tend to it's sort of like trying to avoid the tension and the pressure of the situation. And so they distract. They might try to change the subject, or they might attempt to be funny.
Spill the milk.
Yeah, a little
the child
kid.
At the table will be uncomfortable, and he may do something to get the attention on him, so that mom and dad will quit arguing.
The communication systems are all learned, of course, in the family interaction. I say ma, pa, and the kid. And when there's, say, that triangle, when there's only one child, we'll say at the beginning, say mother and father are at the kitchen table and a little argument has gotten going, and the little youngster, maybe 2-3 years old, is eating his bowl of cereal, you know. So the child becomes anxious, the milk is there, and so on. He might take his spoon and start banging on the bowl, which will distract them from their argument. Mother will give the child some attention. So that's sort of how the pattern could get going. So if we had two parents who were blamers, see, would both argue for their position, then the child is going to try to do something to feel more comfortable, to create his sort of emotional survival, we say, his survival. And that's how he tends to get into locking himself into a position. So he may become a distractor, and a distractor essentially is coming from a victim position. Or the child could become a pleaser, because he sees the argument going on in the family, he or she may attempt to be a pleaser, to please mama or please daddy, so that, you know, things would be nice and be quiet and be better. Okay, now the fourth position is what we call super rational or generalizer. And this would be one more apt to be used by an adult or an older child. The generalizer, you see, is non-specific. Well, let's say for a child, say the parent is trying to get the child to live up to a certain rule, you know, time, getting in, or feeding, a certain behavior thing. Well, the child could generalize, well, all the other kids in the neighborhood, you know, all the other kids in the neighborhood, their folks let them stay out to such and such time, you know. See, he's broadening it out into a generalizing, and it doesn't stay focused on making an agreement with his parents about time. And of course, as adult, men tend to be generalizers. Men are more apt to emphasize the thinking rational side and avoid feelings. So they may come up with some kind of an analysis or a general statement. Now, and the generalizing usually, I mean, it does discount. Say, husband and wife might be arguing, and they start to put each other down, and then the generalizing statement might be, well, our marriage, let's see, he's shifting. All marriages are that way. See, or you say, we can't communicate. We seem to never be able to communicate. Now the we generalizes. He doesn't say, I'm unable to communicate with you, but says, we can't seem to communicate. You know, maybe we shouldn't have gotten married. It sort of broadens it, and it can invalidate the marriage, and it can, and of course, it invalidates both of us, both of the person, by saying we, and he avoids speaking for himself, which might be something more like, "Gee, I'm feeling discouraged." That'd be an I message. I'm feeling discouraged about how we're communicating right now. So that would be expressing one's feelings and in the moment. And then the other person, see, you wouldn't be attacking the other person. And the other person then might be saying, yeah, me too. I'm what's going wrong? So it starts to open it up.
Okay. Now, assuming that you aren't perfect communicators, where would you say you fit in? This is all ways of being dysfunctional. When there's conflict or whatever, or if someone's angry, if anger is hard for you, then you maybe would come from one of these positions. Where do you find yourself? Can you pick yourself out? There are probably a few pleasers here, are there? Mm-hmm. And so when you're a pleaser, how do you feel when the situation's over?
I'm getting better at it, but not good. You don't win.
You haven't counted yourself very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You lose even if you like it.
Doesn't do much for your self-esteem. Is there a blamer in the audience?
An arguer.
And there's an arguer and a blamer.
Okay.
And you're a blamer, and then a rationalizer and saying, well, it's always this way and it'll never change, sort of.
Now that would be a generalizer.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I have found myself in both the blamer and the pleaser situation.
Some of us even
the situation is.
Sure. Some of us even recognize all four.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very true. We get into both. That is, we can at times be a pleaser for a while. And usually you can see
if you're a pleaser for a long time, you may then get into blamer because you're sick of always putting yourself last.
Yeah, you can finally get angry about it, see, but, then you shift.
But generally, you will find yourself in one more natural, depending on how you were brought up, how your mother was, and how your father was, or whoever raised you. So maybe we ought to move on now to functional, or do you want to work on doing self-esteem?
I just might quickly, there are four self-esteem positions. And a lot of time we communicate okay, you know, all right. And when we're doing that from a good adult, then we're saying, in effect, I'm okay and you're okay. When communications are going okay. But when we get caught in the scripted level, then there are these positions of, with the blamer, I'm okay, you're not okay. The pleaser, I'm not okay, but you're okay. And the other position, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's both the distractor and the super-rational. So that's how come I have a 2, 3, 4, 4 here. Now, that relates to these scripted positions.
Before we move then to functional communication, does anyone have a question specifically on something that's hard for you? For us, it's time. You know, one is always ready, and that can be something we have to always seem to work on. Does anyone have something in your relationship with a friend or with a spouse that you could share with us? Did you have something?
I think a lot of times money management is a big item.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get this, and Bob would like to get this, mm-hmm. and sometimes we compromise, and sometimes mm-hmm. we
disagree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would fit into how to negotiate with one another. Maybe we'll get to that tonight.
Maybe,
money matters in
you. Let's see how well you've caught it, in a sense. For instance, if you have two pleasers who are going to decide they're going out to dinner, restaurant, how would they get there? how would they finally decide? Huh? They'd always be turning to the other to say, well, what would you like, where would you like to go, dear? Well, I don't know, I just wouldn't go where you would go.
All the restaurants could be closed by the time they're
done. Yeah, if they stay in that position, they won't get anything decided, see? So you can see the dysfunctionalness of the pleasing position if it's sort of an automatic process or habit. Ellie and I were in a restaurant on the way up here, and there was a couple going, I forget which one it was, but anyway, things were a little on the expensive side. It was sort of, I don't know, it was sort of remote, and things had to be packed in, I think. And the sandwiches were quite expensive, but they were good-sized ones. So the wife had decided that she couldn't eat a whole sandwich, so that she suggested they divide one. And so she kept asking, would that be all right with you? Oh, yeah, that'd be fine. You know, he was agreeable. And then she wanted to know what he would like, because they're going to have to divide the sandwich, you know. And she said, well, she was sort of thinking, but she could see there was certain frustration. She wanted to really know what he preferred, but he wouldn't tell her. He said, well, I'll go right along with you, whatever, you know. So finally, of course, that's what she did decide.
And the result of that will be that he'll probably sit there and fume that he didn't like liver sausage.
What do you do with a husband like that who will not answer questions?
Right.
You can ask 4 or 5 questions, and you cannot get an answer on that.
Well, that was what happened here. You know, she tried about 4 or 5 times, and you could see that she just gave up. That he was willing, supposedly, to go along with it. And he always had a nice smile on his face at the same time. He
sweet
was very
person,
pleasant.
Lovely person.
You know all about that, huh?
Yeah. Just a doll. Easy going, sweet temper.
So, no. All right, well, let's see, if we had somebody who was a distractor, irrelevant, and a pleaser and a blamer. Got three people. One's a blamer, one's a pleaser, placator, the other's a distractor. And, okay, let's say, it's a family decision and that there is a child and two parents, and they're trying to decide on where they're going on for a 2-week vacation. What do you suppose might happen? Let's see, would three of you like to try role playing this?
Yeah,
one of you be a blamer, you know, an arguer rather in this situation, the other be a pleaser, and the other be a distractor. It's kind of fun, actually. We got some takers here, would you? Would you be one? Huh? Anybody? We got one volunteer? Ellie and I, huh? Okay, you volunteer?
Come on, the three of us will.
She'd like to be a distractor, all right.
She must be good at it.
And
come up here, Alice.
Bring a couple chairs here. And we need one. How about one more? Let's get one more from the group here.
Another kid?
Somebody want to be
the kid?
You're going to be the distractor, right?
That's
right. Okay.
Trying to become the kid?
And, okay. What would you like to play? An arguer would be probably an arguer or a pleaser.
No, but pleaser.
Is he a pleaser? Try another role. If he's a pleaser, could he be something? Do you want him to be a pleaser?
No, that's all right. We can have him switch later if you want.
He's already embarrassed.
Okay. But do you want to be the father in the situation? Okay, you be the father, you're the pleaser. I'll be the wife.
And
I'll be the arguer then. Or do you want to be the wife?
No.
You'll be the kid, huh?
Well, I'll be the kid or the grandma.
I'll be the young adult. Okay. I mean, the, you know, that's going to go to college.
Okay.
And,
I'm not in this?
You want to be in this?
No. I thought there were two kids.
We'll have you in another one.
Not hurt at all.
So we've had dinner.
The kids are having fun with us.
And we're about finishing dinner. And, I think, we really ought to make some decision. We've been talking on and off about just what college you're going to go to. And don't you think so, dear?
I think it's time to decide.
We ought to decide? See, your father is in agreement.
I thought you were going to let this be up to me.
Well, you think you can make that decision?
You're the blamer, Roy.
Huh?
You're the blamer.
Well, do you think you're able to make that decision?
Are you able to decide this, or am I going to have a chance?
Well, I think your parents should have a party. We're going to be paying the bills.
Yeah, you got enough money for me to go where I want to go?
Where is it you want to go?
Well, where did you go?
I don't think they're going to go.
Well, how about your alma mater?
I went to the University of Missouri.
That's a long way. I don't know anybody going there.
You need to be a distractor now, too.
Yeah, I'm working up to that.
You two need to start arguing now.
Yeah.
And he won't argue. He'll just be nice.
Well, Yeah, maybe if you'd get a little more assertive about this, she would, you know, make up her mind. You know, I brought it up a number of times, and it just keeps getting postponed.
Are you going fishing tomorrow?
What does that have to do with this? You know, your father and I have to get something worked out here. And it's almost time for the, you know, just another month, and college will be opening. What are you moving the chair around? Aren't you comfortable?
No, it's kind of chilly in here.
No.
No, I worked through this and I got down and I thought, I can work through everything there, but finally they agreed upon solution.
Oh. Well, you haven't agreed on anything here.
No, we should.
No.
Well.
Very good.
Okay, so now we maybe can move to functional communication.
Yeah, okay.
I'm aware that we
want
to, if you want to get through all this, we need to
Move. We need to go to that and to this. And
right.
It's about 7 o'clock. Well, this can be pretty quick. Functional communication is direct, clear, specific, and congruent. By congruent, we mean that what you say with your words is also communicated by your nonverbal communication, by the expression in your face and the tone of your voice, that backs up what you're saying. So whereas dysfunctional course could be incongruent. One speaks for self and also hears the point of view of the other. So you state your position or point of view and you restate what you hear the other person. One expresses what you, also hears the point of view. So you can restate what you heard the other person say, but you then also state what your position is. So you include both. One expresses what you think, feel, and experience. And by experience, I'm making a broader category besides what we think and feel emotionally to include what my stomach might be saying if there's an argument going on. Or I may be getting a headache. Or I may be feeling tense or tight. See, so in functional communication, we try to be direct and clear about our total experience. So, you know, if the argument is getting to the point, yeah, I'm getting a headache, this seems to be stressing me too much, or I'm getting tired. Sometimes if we get into trying to work something out and we're getting tired, it's not a good time to keep on going. So, you might say, could we discuss this tomorrow when it's late at night?
I'd like to do it in the finishes. I'd like to demonstrate something.
Okay. Then one gives feedback on what you hear from the other. So you kind of feedback on what you heard their position to be. And then five, this is an open system. It's open and growth producing. It affirms the self-worth of the other person and of yourself. So therefore, it helps our self-esteem.
Okay. Now, what I'd like to do in the interest of time, and you weren't a very volunteering audience, is Roy and I are going to demonstrate something. What I'd like to ask you is, what is an issue that might bug you in which your husband is so nice? And I'll be functional and he'll be a pleaser. And I'll tell you, I'll demonstrate how you might communicate with him. And it's always, and it'll be a guess on. What would be an issue? Would that be okay?
It's about everything.
About everything. Oh, okay.
Clothes and where we're going to spend our vacations and he does not want to come out with an answer because then he does, and it doesn't go right, see.
He leaves everything up to you.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's real easy for me. You know, whenever we want to have friends, you depend on me to set up all our social life. And I really wish you'd do it sometime.
It gives you a chance to make the decision, though.
Well, that makes me feel angry when you say that.
Well, I'm only... What else can I do?
Well, you could plan something for us once in a while.
Well, I like what you do.
I know you do. It's so easy for you, because then I do it all. But then it makes me feel good that I have to be responsible for all our social life.
Oh.
I mean, once in a while, it would be nice if you did something, then I could be surprised. I mean, that's the way I feel about it. Would he withdraw then?
Well, I'm always the heavy when it comes to discipline.
And the children.
Everything. Because I have to take the initiative, because he doesn't.
Sometimes
so then I'm the heavy.
Yeah, sometimes I really wish that you would be more assertive with the kids and not always depend on me to carry it all. Well, what I think I'm demonstrating here, is communicating what you feel rather than
making me wrong.
Then you're supposed to say, why is it always up to me? Why is it up to me to say
well,
get the garbage out?
Well, a why question will make him defensive rather than say, I just don't like that it's always up to me.
If I don't put the garbage out, it doesn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't
I resent you never take out the garbage.
But
I resent that you don't take out the garbage. Would you be willing to take out the garbage this week? And then that would come into negotiating.
All right. I'll
what nights? And then you get specific. What nights would you take it out?
Well, how about Wednesday and Friday?
You do Wednesday and Friday? Well, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. You know, it's like, get specific and really hone in on it. Don't.
If you come on, why?
Why is it always up to me? That's not the way to do it.
Yeah, that's not the way. Yeah, you'll be putting yourself in this. You'll hear it as a parent message, see? You'll hear it as, so he's apt to get defensive then.
But neither should you just go, the garbage is picked up at 7:30 Monday morning. Well, it's much simpler to put it out the night before with bungee cords so that the animals don't get into it. But this doesn't work. We wait till 7:28 Monday morning, if at all. So by my taking the garbage out Sunday night with bungee cords, it doesn't solve the problem. Why is it always up to me? That doesn't solve it either.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But if you hold to that, you're going to get in. Okay. See, you're getting stuck in feeling like a victim.
That's right.
Well, she knows that.
And of course, to the extent more you feel like a victim, eventually you're going to feel resentful and angry. But then then that'll fuel your criticism of you.
Especially when you're paying for garbage service that isn't being utilized because it isn't picked up at all.
Well, now, the other thing, you see, you have your reason. That's super, you're being real rational there. But that's not, see, if you come, it covers your anger. I suggest would be, if you had got an agreement from him to handle the garbage half of the week, we'll say.
I haven't got an agreement so far, so I'm open to all suggestions.
See, and if he misses it, then let the garbage accumulate. See, don't take over responsibility for him. I mean, whatever you get an agreement on, do not step in and take over his responsibility. Because that's it only encourages the old habitual behavior, see. And so if he's going to rush down at the last minute and do it, let him do it that way. at least it's getting done. Or if he misses, then maybe you can sort of set that guard somewhere in his pathway till the next day so he can live with it, you know. And so he'll get taken care of.
We had someone who wanted to comment to that.
Yeah, I think one of the important things about the role playing was that Eleanor never gave Roy a why question, never put it on Roy. It was always, I'm hurt.
Well, yeah. It's really my problem with him. Yeah. It's your problem with him. He's okay.
Yeah.
You mean about the garbage?
About anything. See, the garbage is just something you hook into. It. There's some stuff going on between you, like there always is between two people.
Yeah, I've taken him out on the street and showed Sunday night. Everybody else with cans are out.
You're a great generalizer.
Would you be willing to play him? To be him? You know what he is.
Okay.
Come on up. And maybe we can give you, I'm not sure if, you know, I don't promise any great solutions here, but you might experience by being him, and I'll be you, about the garbage. In other words, the garbage issue.
The kids are here.
And so you, and I'm going to attempt to use functional communication and negotiating to get an agreement out of it. What's his name?
Warren.
And your first name?
Mary.
So I'm Mary and you're Warren. Well, it's that time of the week again about the garbage, and I wanted to talk to you about it. Is this an okay time?
I'm looking at football games.
Oh.
Sunday night football.
Okay.
So he's demonstrating the negotiating rule.
Okay, I'll talk to you about
all right.
When the game.
Yeah, this isn't a good time.
No.
Okay. When the game's over then?
10 o'clock news. Yeah, I'll go to the 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Don't you have some sewing or something you could do?
I've been feeling really frustrated, you know, and maybe this has come up from time to time. Let's see if we can't get something worked out so we can feel better about it then.
Not bothering me, it's just out there in the can. Bothering me, can I go
well,
ahead and
if it's not bothering you, then maybe, let's, when would be a time to talk this, I could sit down and talk things over with you?
Don't worry
tomorrow,
about it, honey.
Tomorrow?
I'll get the garbage out. Don't worry about it.
Oh, you'll take care of it?
Sure, I always do.
Okay. Are you going to take care of it each day? Is that sort of the agreement, or what?
If I don't get it out. Did it? We never have much garbage.
Okay.
If I don't get it out, he'll pick it up next week. Just let me look at the news and leave it on.
All right. Okay. I'll leave it with you then. You say you'll take care of it. Okay. Fine.
Okay. Now, does he do it?
No. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't.
Well, I'm going to, as you, I'm going to let him do it his way. And I'm going to let go of, you know, the feelings that I've had around that. And to see how it goes, and you know, if he forgets it 1 week, then it sits there, and it's his, and it's not mine to be fussing about, you know, put more energy on.
Concentrate on something else.
Yeah, concentrate on something else. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Okay. Because he sounds pretty determined that he's going to, in his own way, and if he misses 1 week, he'll catch it the next week.
Sure.
Okay.
No, nothing bothers
him. Okay, what's another issue?
We have a raised hand out here.
Okay, what?
Yeah, what if he spills the garbage every time he takes it out, and then we've got to clean it up?
We did that because we have a thing about the can. We don't want to take the can out. We don't want to take the basket out. The bagging, mm-hmm. the trash bag out and set it out. Everybody else has cans out, but we put the bag out, which the animals can get into.
Okay. Do the animals get in occasionally? And who cleans that up?
I do.
That's something
I shouldn't do.
You shouldn't do.
I thought you were going to say that.
Be relieved. It's not yours, and when he comes home, you'll see it's out there. It's his sticker.
How many weeks does she allow him to miss the garbage?
Many as it takes.
Well,
many as it takes.
Yeah, many as it takes.
We have someone say here, as many as it takes.
But how does she live with it? It gets harder and harder.
You do. You let go of it. It's not your problem.
That's what he says. Don't worry about it. I've got other things
so
to worry about.
Yeah. See, he's stuck with it. It's his problem.
And you know, at one level, if I was, well, now let's see. Say if I'm you, Mary, and I said, you know, I'm going to back off on this. How do you think your husband might feel about your backing off?
He'd think I was sick.
You know what?
He wouldn't expect you to back off.
Oh,
but,
that would disarm him.
But I want to find out, though, do you think he might like it that you backed off?
Oh, and
so, yeah. So, see, he would have some, he would feel, hey, she's going to let me
get off
do
my
it.
Back.
Yeah, I've got to get off. See, there underneath, he doesn't tell you that, but there's some positive feeling there. And, well, anyway, on the long term, you're helping to generate more positive feeling there. Because
by just dropping the subject?
Getting off his back.
Tell him what happened when you quit nagging about the chicken.
When you brought it.
It rotted? Oh, big deal. Well, but I think what we're talking about is not only the garbage, we're talking about individual differences. Chances are, and I'm guessing, but she might be very neat and like things pretty orderly, and he's very laid back and doesn't take
easy going. Sweetest
and
guy.
And so, of course, that's why they married each other, but now it's driving them crazy. The differences.
Nothing ever bothers
me. And so
well,
that's...
My wife and I are somewhat that way. Like around time, we have a time problem. She's very conscious. Go ahead.
I don't mind you saying, but I think we can hear from other people.
But anyway, that's one that we've had to work on.
I don't care what he tells about us. It's your time, not ours.
Much more orderly, more quick and fast. I'm slow, more laid back. And I'm kind of an intuitive, I don't plan things all that well, but, you know.
Do you brush your teeth right before you have to go somewhere?
No.
He does. Is that something that drives you nuts?
The bell rings, you brush
it. I gotta brush my teeth. Here.
What the bell's for?
Right here.
Another approach to dealing with somebody like that, in her case, now maybe it doesn't work, but it's worked Now, I'm usually the one, if I don't have an opinion, and my wife gets frustrated, she says, that's it, if we're going to do this, it's your turn. It's going to happen.
And then she lets it go.
She lets it go.
And that works okay.
Yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't happen?
No, it usually happens.
Okay.
But it happens with your rules and your...
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be...
Well, she just says, I'm tired of making decisions. If we're going to happen, you do it.
What I'm saying is,
he puts on a party. It's not going to be the same party that his wife puts on. It's a party.
Vacation.
And so.
Well, last year was Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not kidding. She said, this year, I'm not doing the Christmas shopping.
Okay, now she's getting a clear message.
She's very clear. She's
everybody
very
loving that?
She's very clear.
Direct, clear, and specific. So she's telling you that, and if
something's
going to get done, you're going to have to do it.
If there's going to be any gifts.
it was a time crunch for her. She had so much going on, she just said, I can't handle it. Uh-huh, okay. Yeah. That was
I said fine. That was all right.
And it got done.
Oh, everybody loved it.
He's a good Christmas shopper.
Okay. You were
something that I noticed in the situation out of here. Where I would say the need is for the person that is so bothered by it, they have to give up. You know, it's what you were saying, but I can see that that's really an important part of it, is for the person that is bothered by something has to give up whenever, give up being bothered so much.
They have to internally deal with their own feelings about it.
Let the other person take over.
Because if they don't give the responsibility to somebody, they need to let go of it and handle the feelings they may have about that, about letting go. And
we have to all realize that different things are important to each other. Or more important or less important.
In a way it's true, it's related to faith in the sense of trust. It's sort of, if we let go, then we're going to trust the situation. We're going to trust the person to follow through in the way they will choose to do it. And even if it has to set for a couple of times until they see us, and do something about it.
But you can feel like a victim.
Yeah.
You can go, if
you want to carry it with you.
And of course, with children or teenagers.
We don't need it for 5 weeks. We don't have one. I'm just waiting for them to do this.
We've got you participating so much that it's...
Yeah, now we got this going.
Everybody is talking. Okay, let's take a quick look through this. In the negotiating guidelines, you request the time. You remember, I first asked when, and he was watching TV, and so I don't want to get into an argument about, start blaming him for not ever being, so I asked, well, when will you? See, so I turned, when could we talk about it? And so you get a time, you agree on a time, and then, always take one issue at a time. A lot of time, many problems have several dimensions to them. So you have to sort it out. Like if you're going on a vacation, there's the cost of vacation, it's where you're gonna go, and how much time you're gonna take. You know, it might even be some other issues. So you try and solve one at a time, whereas if you don't, and you have several people discussing it, it's a family conference, about it, you know, everybody will jump in. You know, the kid will say, hey, I want to go to Lake George, and maybe dad will have to think about the finances, and mother says, well, we went to Lake George last year, so it becomes a hodgepodge if you jump around from one issue to another. Then everybody feels frustrated, and that's when a generalization would come up. Oh, this seems like this family can never decide anything. See, then it's turn negative and you put everybody down. Like maybe the kid might say that. Oh, you see, all you people do is argue. You know, Mom and Dad, you all seem to argue. We can't get anything decided. Gee whiz, we're not going to Lake George, I suppose. And
So one issue at a time.
See, so you take one issue at a time. And then you stay in the present and deal with the specific issues, not generalized.
One issue and stay in the present.
Yeah, stay in the present. Like, you can all go back in the past and say, well, last year we went here and you can always go into the past and bring up ammunition for your argument. If you want to drop that, stay present. Okay, the initiating party who has asked for negotiation time states the issue and the other partner restates it back. So that you have a clear clarity on what you're discussing.
Let's demonstrate that right now.
Ellie wants to demonstrate this.
Roy, this Sunday when I'm ready for church at 22,
yes.
I would like you to be ready to go and not depend on me to tell you when it's time to go. Okay. Did you get all that?
So, okay, next Sunday, mm-hmm. the time, 20 minutes of the hour,
mm-hmm.
you want me to be ready. That's the issue. And, to go, ready to go.
And no, that is no.
Oh.
What about depending on me to tell you what time it is?
Oh.
see how hard okay. that is?
You want me to take responsibility for looking at the clock.
I didn't say that.
Oh.
Say it the way I said it.
Okay.
Do I need to say it again?
Yes, say it again.
Next Sunday at 22, when it's time to leave for church, I would like you to be ready and not ask me to remind, not depend on me to remind you what time it is.
Okay, so next Sunday, you would like me to take responsibility for being ready 20 minutes out mm-hmm. and not depend on you for the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Would you do it?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
See, but anyway,
would you how difficult it is to really get what the other person's asking, and by restating it, the person can tell you whether or not you can hear whether they got.
You can. You don't have to say. You know, you can put it in. Do you understand what I'm asking? Would you, you know, tell me back what the issue is, you know, so mm-hmm. at least anyway, you don't have to make it sound so bossy or something, you know, okay, now restrain it or something like that.
Was I bossy?
No, I wasn't thinking of you, but at least the way the rules are here, I mean, it's sort of the partner restates it, but I guess restate. Okay, six partners discuss the issue, and they make proposals back and forth, and then you end up usually having to make a compromise. You know, you may come to some agreement, and then there's an agreed upon solution, and then you follow through on that. On some things, it doesn't mean that this thing can't be renegotiated. It isn't like it's cast in concrete. So if you get your partners get something that's really a difficult problem with them, and you do finally come to a solution, and you know you may not be totally happy with it, but you're willing to try it out, see. In fact, you can say, well, let's review it at the end of the week, or whatever, review it sometime down the line, how this is working. And then you can always renegotiate it to refine it and make it work better.
Yes.
Okay.
So maybe we have time for some feedback.
I'm not going to mention a garbage Sunday or Monday. I even have to wake him up Monday, so he'd be sure to get out by 7:28 and he'll go to sleep. But I'm not going to mention it at all this weekend.
Right.
Okay, any other comment?
Too bad you can't come down and report it through somebody.
But has he agreed to do it?
How
do you get through to somebody?
Yeah, when you can't get their attention, you can't set the alarm.
No, not quite. Can't be right.
Don't give up.
I was thinking that on this, if you're having trouble getting someone's attention, always acting like you have all the time in the world. You know, if you're wanting to set up this thing to talk, and they don't even have time to talk about the fact that you want to talk, you just stand there and you just keep talking about
Perfect.
It, following or whatever.
I heard that. Perfect.
And
don't
you know,
give up.
You don't have to get up and you don't have to get angry or anything.
Good.
Because that might be the person that, you know, well, they'll finally hear you.
That's scriptural too, you know.
Yeah.
What about when they say they'll do it and then they don't do it?
Like about what?
We have a bathroom thing. He's supposed to clean the bathroom. He'll say he'll do it, and then he won't do it.
Monday.
And then I wait for like 4 weeks, and it's still not been done. And usually have somebody come
well,
over
I my suggestion but would be...
Wrap something all over the toilet.
Yeah,
exactly. It sounds like you need to renegotiate it.
Yeah. Well, I offered to say that wouldn't be his chore. He could do something else. I said, no, I'll do it.
Then he doesn't do it.
Well, you think maybe
Monday night comes, goes, you know, whatever night
it is. Would it need to be renegotiated? Because it sounds like you're not happy with it or something. I mean, you're not, if you're not doing it, maybe, you know, do you have a clear agreement?
Well, yeah, we have a pretty clear agreement. But the problem is, I don't know, we all get into time commitment things, and, you know, something comes up. There's something I have to do on Monday night, and Monday's come and go, and shoot, you know. Monday came, I was supposed to do the bathroom, but, you know, something happened that night that I was away from the house that evening, and I didn't get to it. You know,
well,
but I need somehow to remember that that's the night.
I'm going to put ketchup on the toilet.